You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Fast Break podcast. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. Today we're going to be looking at the top 20 players in fantasy basketball over the last 2 weeks, as well as doing a check-in on the New Orleans Pelicans, the New York Knicks, and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Hi guys, let's take a look now at the top 20 players in fantasy basketball over the last 2 weeks. It should be nobody's surprise that James Harden comes in at number one, averaging 48.5 and 11.5 with two steals, with one block, and with six triples per game. Absolutely no debate about Harden being the number one player. He's been unbelievable so far this season. Number two, again, no real shock, Anthony Davis, averaging 32 points with 15 rebounds, 4 assists, 1.8 steals, and 2.6 blocks. And those percentages, which had been lagging a little bit at the start of the season at 55 and 83, they are back in business. No real debate there. In fact, the top six players are all guys who I think you should be considering as the top six fantasy players for pretty much the rest of the season. Number three is Steph Curry, who's hitting more threes than James Harden, 6.5 per game, 33.5 points, 6.5 assists. He's shooting immaculately, 52 from the field and 45 from three. Yeah, back in business at that top end of the fantasy zone after he had dipped a little bit with some of the shooting dropping off. Number four is the fun guy, Kawhi Leonard.
I'm a fun guy.
He is averaging just 31 points per game, which is lower than all those other three guys. 6.5 boards with 4.5 assists and almost three steals on 58 and 79. So if there's one guy out of this top four who's likely to drop, it's Kawhi, because that 58% shooting is probably not going to stick, nor are the three steals per game. So he can drop back. He's still a top 10 guy, though. Number five is Karl Anthony Towns, averaging 27 and 16 with 2.7 blocks on 52 and 82, also chipping in with 1.5 threes and 3.5 assists. No reason he can't be a top four or top three guy for the rest of the season, coming off that big 27 and 27 game against Anthony Davis and the Pelicans across the weekend. And then number six is Nikola Jokic, averaging 27, 12, and 8 with a steal, a block, almost two threes on 54 and 81. Like Davis, Jokic's numbers were a little muted to begin the season because his percentages were off for whatever reason. They are back now. His usage is up. He is putting together an absolutely sensational run, and it hasn't really been impacted. In fact, it's been enhanced by the return of Paul Millsap. Barton's back now. Harris is coming back, but Jokic is the man on this team pretty clearly, and he should be getting every opportunity to put these numbers up consistently. Number seven, I guess, is where we've got a little bit of a surprise. Bradley Beal comes in there. He's playing a massive 39.5 minutes a game over the last seven. That is obviously a huge amount, averaging 31 points with 4 triples, 7 assists, 5.5 boards, and 2 steals on 48 and 81. But when you look at it, the only thing I see there is really dropping down is the playing time. All the other numbers are within the realms of possibility for what Beal can do. Probably the 2 steals is a bit high for him. I do think, though, that he has a chance to be a first-round guy by the end of the year, a clear top 15 player, and if you are trading him away, you have to look at him as a top 10 guy, I think. I think that's the way you've got to be approaching the rest of the season for Bradley Beal. Number 8 is Joel Embiid, averaging 29 and 14 with 2.7 blocks on 50 and 80. Again, this is probably his zone for the rest of the season, about the right spot for him. Yeah, scoring well, rebounding, blocking shots, efficiency. He's getting 3 assists a game. He's hitting over a 3. This is about the Joel Embiid that I think that we should be having a decent level of expectation he'll be able to continue. Number 9, a bit of a surprise as well, Blakey Griffin. 38 minutes a night for 31 points, 3 triples, 6 rebounds, and 6 assists on 1.5 steals. The efficiency is way up, 53 and 88%. But like a lot of these guys, I look at this and go, well, it's not crazy that he's in this level. 30 points per game is high for Griffin. 53 from the field is probably a little bit high as well. But 6 assists, 1.5 steals, and actually 1.5 steals for Griffin's pretty high as well. He's normally a less than one sort of a guy. But he's been really, really strong this season, all season. And we hope that him and Danilo Gallinari, two of the guys who people really faded hard because of injury concerns, it's been half a season and they've been fine. Let's keep our fingers crossed that both of those guys can continue to be healthy. Number 10 is Bob Covington. He's only played the one game, but it was a great game, 16-2-3 with five steals. He's out for another few weeks here, at least with his bone bruise, so that's obviously not ideal there. And another surprise comes in at number 11, Yusuf Nurkic, who's only playing 28 minutes per night, the fewest minutes of anybody in the top 20. 19-11.5 with 3.5 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks on 60% and 76%. That's 60% from him. He is a guy who has been criticized in the past for the poor finishing and the poor efficiency numbers. His numbers are sky high at the moment, and they've been pretty high all of this season. A real steal where you could have got him in drafts around the 50 to 60 mark after a somewhat disappointing season last year. He has stepped it up big time. He is, to me, is a comfortable top 50, top 40 guy, and probably can be a top 30-ish type player with how he's going. Number 12 is Giannis Antetokounmpo. Averaging 27-12 with 5 assists, 1.3 steals and 1.3 blocks on 54%. But of course, the big downer you get there is 72 from the line, and that's not terrible. But anything under 77% from the line is a negative. And when you're doing it on 10 attempts per game, then that is a multiplier type effect. And that's where you're at with Antetokounmpo. 10 free throws a game, making that a real big negative. Of course, he's not really hitting any threes, but the other numbers are all pretty nice. Number 13, speaking of negatives, Russell Westbrook, 24.5 with 11 rebounds and 12.5 assists on 1.7 steals. 42-73, actually not as harmful as what he's been in those categories for most of this season. Normally he's been a 60% free throw guy. The 42% is still pretty damaging on 23 attempts, and he's shooting 19% on three-pointers. So if you count 3-point percent, then you are in a fair bit of trouble there with Westbrook. I mentioned this the other day. For people to tell me how in roto leagues where the person who has Westbrook is going, and in invariably they were right down the bottom of the standings, because that is really hard to come back from two big negatives in percentages like Westbrook brings. Number 14 is LaMarcus Aldridge, who started out really slowly this season but has turned it around fantastically. That legendary efficiency is not only back, but it's improved. 59 from the field and 90 from the line for 26 points, only 6 boards, only a block per game. So all of his value really is coming from those big, big percentage numbers. And when they drop off, a significant fall will come from Aldridge. It won't be Matt. It won't be like outside the top 70 or anything like that, I don't think. But those two numbers are really fueling this top 15 run from Aldridge. Number 15 is Drew Holiday, averaging 21-5-6 with 1.7 steals, and his efficiency has been ridiculous all season. 55 from the field here, 87 from the line, getting a point guard who can be a 50% field goal guy. And I was a little skeptical he could repeat that from last season. He's done it, and he's done it almost better than what he did last year. Number 16 is Kevin Durant. 25.5 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists. I don't know why, but Durant just never gets steals at all. Just 0.3 steals, 1.3 blocks on 52-85, and they're really, really strong numbers. The fact is that everyone above him has been so much better, and that's why he has slipped down. And that run he had where he was a top 3 guy when Steph was out, you look at him as a somewhat of a sell high there guy there, but how are you going to sell him high? But I think he'll be better than what he currently is what I'm trying to get at. Klay Thompson, I don't think he'll be better than what he currently is. The 17th ranked player, averaging 25 with 4 triples on 1.5 steals and 51% from the field. His strongest category there is his three-pointers, 4.2 per game. When that drops off, his numbers drop off. I don't view him as a top 20, top 30, or top 40 player. So a sell high is absolutely a possibility here for Thompson. He's gone through a really hot streak with his shooting. 51% from the field is an unsustainable number. He's also giving you almost 4 assists, which is not something he usually does as well. So I think this is a bit of a sell high moment for Clay. Number 18 is the Don, Donovan Mitchell, 27-4-5 with a steal and 3.5 triples. His efficiency, which really bothered him to start this season, is up at the moment. 46 from the field on 21 attempts and 81 from the line. And importantly, that is at 5 attempts per game. One of the things we banked on him being able to do is increase his free throw rate. He hasn't been able to, but recently he has. The role as a starting point guard is also suiting him, with Neto, Rubio, and Exum all out. So this could be a real sell high-ish type of moment for Mitchell if you can acquire any sort of top 20 guy for him. Now, Mitchell, there was a chance he could have been a top 20 guy at the beginning of the season. I think I had him just outside the top 20 at the beginning of the year. So it's not a crazy idea to think that someone values him at this level. I think he probably drops back to top 30, top 35. So there's a little bit of wiggle room without being a huge amount. Number 19 is Damo Lillard, averaging 21, 3 and 8 with 1.4 steals, which is a really strong number for Lillard. The 38% from the field is dragging his numbers down. 96 from the line is obviously sensational. And weirdly, just 24% from 3, giving him only 1.7 triples per game. And that's why he's not at the top 12 level. Instead, he's 19th. So a bit of a bounce back should come there. Rounding out the top 20 is Toby Harris. 20 points per game for Harris, 7 rebounds, 1.7 steals on 48 and 91. He's not quite this good, but he's obviously been fantastic. He's in that top 30-ish, top 40-ish type of zone for the rest of the season, but a nice little run puts him into the top 20. And just rounding out the last four guys out, D'Angelo Russell at 21, the now injured Clint Capela at 22, Paulie George at 23, who suffered a little bit of a drop-off, and Domantas Sabonis, a bit of a shocker there, at number 24, and that is your top 20 players in the NBA for fantasy basketball over the last 2 weeks. Hi guys, let's do a check-in now on the New Orleans Pelicans, answering questions that you guys sent through. Kenny says, is there a chance AD gets shut down? I'm worried about not having him during fantasy playoffs. Kenny, shutdowns are bullshit. They don't happen. If he gets injured, yes, he won't play. Simple as that. They are not just going to go to Anthony Davis and say, Tone, you're not playing. Like, it's just not going to happen. And if it does, it'll be for the last two games of the season. You can come back to me and circle back on this when I'm wrong. I just don't see it happening. Shutdowns is the most pervasive thought in all of fantasy basketball that has the least basis in fact, I reckon. It just doesn't happen. Like, guys just don't get, you're just not, you're not playing the last 6 weeks. See ya, don't play. Happened to Eric Bledsoe, happened to Tyson Chandler, and everyone was pissed. And that did happen. It just doesn't happen to these guys. If a guy gets hurt and they actually need to recuperate and have surgery, then yes, they don't play, but that's the same as what happens at any point during the season. The next question is from Matus Barbiaz, and I apologize for mispronouncing that. Who has the better fantasy outlook for the rest of the season? That's a good question, because I should have finished the question. Let's try that again. Who has the better fantasy outlook for the rest of the season, Julius Randle or Nikola Mirotic? And at the moment, Randle's the guy getting the minutes and putting up the numbers, but I actually think it's going to be Mirotic. I think that the team functions much better with Mirotic in a starting role over Randle. Randle's better coming in, playing 27 minutes, bludgeoning backup centers and putting up those big numbers. While Mirotic works perfectly alongside Anthony Davis, can take advantage of starting lineups with his spread ability. I think that both of these guys are top 100 players. I think Mirotic is a top 60, top 65 guy, and Randle's like a top 80 guy for the rest of the season. I don't see the current starting lineup sticking or the current minutes distribution as Mirotic returns from his ankle injury. I think it gets back to a 30 minutes for Mirotic, 28 minutes for Randle type scenario. On a per-minute basis, Mirotic is a better fantasy player than what Randle is. He's better with defensive stats. He shoots more threes. He can score at a similar level. Slightly worse rebounder, but not that much. I think that Mirotic is the better player than Randle, even though, again, current production or current level of where they're at doesn't suggest that. So if you had that opportunity, and it probably wouldn't happen in many cases, but to trade Randle to get Mirotic, that'd be the move that I would go for. And that's how I do think that it plays out for this Pelicans team. But of course, that all depends on what Alvin Gentry decides to do. I think eventually the common senseness of having Mirotic next to Davis majority of the time sways him and makes that move happen relatively soon. Fantasy check-in now for the New York Knicks and the questions that you guys asked me. There's a very, very common theme that goes through this. Eric Wong says, is Fizdale ever going to give us a consistent rotation? The answer is pretty clearly no. And then it's a lot of discussion about the centers. How stable is Noah Vonleh's value in the long term? Will it take a hit with Mitchell Robinson coming back? And I'll say this. I think there is a legitimate chance from here on out that not one single New York Knicks player is a top 100 guy for the rest of the season. I think that's a legitimate chance. Cornett, Kanter, Mitchell Robinson at center, Noah Vonleh. Let's just talk about those guys and how that situation could potentially pan out. The problem here is now the guy who I think has got the most consistent value is Vonleh, but he can't stay out of foul trouble. In fact, he's barely got to 20 minutes in about three of the last four games because of fouls. And then there's the Fizdale nonsense that gets thrown on top of that where he'll be all over the place. So he's probably the most consistent. As for Kanter, I don't think he ends the season as a member of the Knicks team. I think he will get traded at some point this season around the trade deadline area, or he's going to be bought out and sent home and not playing in this rotation. But He gets benched. He plays 15 minutes. Then he complains and he plays 27 minutes off the bench. And then he'll probably go back to starting again. It's all over the place. So there's no way of being able to predict this. Luke Kornet was starting. Continue to start. Cantor was out, so he moved to the bench. So Vonleh could start at center and Lance Thomas could come in for an all-important 20 minutes. And Kornet then played a lot of minutes in that role. And yeah, he's been putting up some okay numbers for this season, but you know, this is all without Mitchell Robinson. And then Robinson comes back, who started and came off the bench and has dealing with foul troubles as well. And then, of course, does Porzingis ever return? I don't really think that he will, but that's another wrinkle to throw into there. So for standard leagues, the only guy I think you really want to have is Cantor, just as a hold in a lot of cases. But if you're in a struggling scenario, the Knicks have one game this week. Cantor's not even going to play it. You might just need to move on there. But he's clearly the best option. But I don't see any of these guys being real top 100 players for this season. You could use Robinson as a blocks stream. Kornet could be that threes blocks combo, a lightweight Porzingis, if you will. And Cantor, the minutes are just too unpredictable. And Vonleh is just a very, very low upside player. So no, Fizdale's rotations won't be consistent. And the center spot, it's just a complete mess. And I imagine it's going to stick that way for the rest of the season. All right, guys, let's do a quick check-in on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Abrams says, will the Thunder trade for another big or sign someone like Brandon Wright? And if so, would you anticipate someone like Wright putting up defensive stats and a field goal percentage similar to Nerlens Noel while he's out? Trades, it's impossible to predict when someone's going to make a trade. The Nerlens Noel situation obviously was pretty scary. I imagine he's out for a couple of weeks. I don't think the Thunder are going to be making any sort of big move just to deal with the Noel absence. Although if it does prolong, then perhaps they need to look into getting a backup center. But Jeremy Grant and Patrick Patterson, they can play that role, and that's what they'll be doing, I imagine, in the short term. But bringing up a name like Brandon Wright is interesting, so I'll answer that part of the question. He's a guy that, his per 36 numbers are always fantastic. A massively high field goal percentage, really strong block numbers. He's not the same guy as Noel in terms of being able to get steals. He's a pretty strong rebounder, not the best rebounder though. His value comes from the blocks and field goal percentage. So I guess he is similar to Noel in that vein. But Nerlens is a guy that in 20 minutes a night is a close to top 150 guy. I don't think Wright can be that guy because he just doesn't have the same ability to get steals as Noel. And that's what puts Noel from being a top 200 guy into a top 150 player. So no, I don't think the Thunder necessarily are going to be making any sort of trade for a backup big man. And signing someone, I don't think it's going to have a major impact. I think we forget that Brandon Wright is already 31 years of age as well. He's had significant injury concerns throughout his NBA career, can barely stay healthy. So that's not necessarily the guy you want to be taking a flyer on here in this scenario. I think the Thunder might be more looking if there are any buyout guys that do appear. Well, they did have, there are some two-way guys. A guy maybe to watch is Willie Reed from the G League, who's putting up big numbers in the G League. He could be an interesting name to pay some attention to there. So I don't envisage a big move or any sort of move necessarily coming with the Thunder unless Noel just is really struggling to return to full health after that concussion. And that'll do it for another episode of the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Fast Break Podcast. Make sure you're tuning into the main show later tonight. We'll talk all about the Clint Capela injury, all of Monday's action, and preview Tuesday's games. Tell your smart speaker now to play the podcast Locked On, and then insert your favorite team name there and leave a review for this on Apple Podcasts. And subscribe, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, and on YouTube. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.